This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Hurricane Irma is being dubbed one of the most powerful storms in history as it slams into the Caribbean islands this week on its way to Florida. According to the National Hurricane Center, Irma is, quote, potentially catastrophic. Puerto Rico and other Caribbean islands are reeling from the power and force of Irma. News reports reveal that up to 95% of all buildings and vehicles on the small island of Barbuda have been flattened. As Texans barely began their long road to recovery from Hurricane Harvey, Floridians are now bracing themselves for Irma. President Donald Trump has approved emergency declarations for Florida, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Trump has, of course, long declared climate change to be a hoax and is overseeing the dismantling of regulations and funding that would protect the public from the impacts of global warming. My guest is Thanu Yakupitiage. She is the U.S. Communications Manager with the group 350.org. Welcome to the program, Thanu.
Thanks so much for having me.
So before we get into the political ramifications of the hurricane season, how do you put into context the power and the strength of Harvey, Irma, et cetera? This is hurricane season, so of course it's not at all surprising that there are hurricanes coming in, but they seem to be breaking previous records. That is pretty alarming, right?
Absolutely. Certainly this is hurricane season, but Hurricane Harvey and now Hurricane Irma have broken all records. These are the largest hurricanes on record, and they've certainly, from our perspective, become worse because of global warming, because of climate change, because of this administration's climate denial and the fossil fuel industry's, inability to sort of recognize the ways in which they actually have contributed to this crisis. In fact, a report was released today, a peer-reviewed study in the journal Climate Change, and it basically asserts that 90 of the largest carbon producers, including BP, Exxon, Chevron, have cumulatively caused up to 50% of the increase in global mean surface temperature since 1880 and 32% of global sea level rise.
We're actually going to be covering that study on our program on our next show. So these are breaking all records. And and I understand that predictions of climate models warned us that exactly this would happen, right? I mean, those who have been warning about climate change, like your organization 350.org, this is not surprising to people who have been following this issue, right?
No, absolutely not. I mean, the reality is that when the oceans are warmer and there's a warmer atmosphere, that actually leads to more destructive storms. And so climate change is part of the reason why these storms are so large. And, you know, beyond the sad thing is we're still stuck in this debate about whether this is climate change when we really need to go beyond that. Look at the destruction that's already been caused, whether in Texas and Houston and surrounding areas with Harvey or in Barbuda that just got flattened by this hurricane. It's going to take millions and millions of dollars for that island to recover. And we see that Florida could be next. And so the reality is, even though this is hurricane season, can the United States, can the world really afford to be having to tackle these kinds of climate impacts over and over again without really making a longer term strategy to deal with climate change?
And we also knew, in addition to predicting that hurricanes would become stronger and more destructive, what we've known about climate change for a long time is that small islands in particular are the most vulnerable for obvious reasons. Rising sea levels will impact them, coastal regions and small islands. Haven't Caribbean island nations been on the forefront of those nations that are on a global scale, have been pushing for action on the climate at all of the UN gatherings, the COP meetings, etc.? These leaders were ringing the alarm bells, but nobody listened.
Absolutely. And this is where really we have to talk about where larger countries like the United States, like France, like Canada come into play, really in terms of a global responsibility. We know that small island nations from the Pacific Islands, from Fiji to the Caribbean islands have been ringing the alarm bells for a very long time. And it's time that they get listened to. They're countries, those island nations are the first that will be underwater. They're the first that are impacted when these hurricanes and other climate impacts come through. And the United States and the fossil fuel industry have an obligation to ensure that communities across the world are safe, because what they're doing is causing a crisis of epic proportions.
Now, the issue of rebuilding is so crucial. For years, nations, smaller nations, poorer nations had been attempting to make bigger nations who are responsible for the bulk of emissions to take financial responsibility for adaptation to deal with the inevitable, and also for things like rebuilding after natural disasters that are made stronger by climate change. So when Barbudans attempt to rebuild their nation, where is the money going to come from?
I mean, that's, I think, something that's going to have to be taken into consideration in the next couple of weeks. That's where, you know, all Caribbean nations together will be, having to think through what their strategy is, not just in the short term, but in the long term. And countries like the United States and others are going to have to really step up to support these smaller island nations as well. At the same time as the United States also is putting billions of dollars into recovery into Texas, and it's to be seen what's going to happen in Florida. And so, again, we really do have a global crisis at our hands that is not adequately being addressed by the media or by politicians who continue to sow climate denial.
And then you have Puerto Rico, which is, of course, a U.S. territory and whose economy has already been in shambles. I mean, Puerto Rico has been struggling with a financial recession that it has yet to recover from. And here comes Hurricane Irma. And Trump, as I mentioned, has declared a state of emergency in Puerto Rico. Isn't the U.S. also going to run out of money? Because we as a country haven't set aside enough, right?
Yeah, well, this is where we actually need to talk about all of the rollbacks on climate protections. You know, since Trump has come into office, it has been consistently, almost every month, a different rollback on a climate protection. More recently, even though the president talks about how they will rebuild Houston stronger and better than before, he has revoked an Obama-era protection around creating infrastructure that has flood protections. And so even if you do rebuild a city like Houston, what does that mean if there's no flood protections for any of these cities, right? And so in terms of the financial aspect of this, I mean, you're right. That's something that's going to have to be put into consideration, given that just even now as Congress looks at a package for recovery for Houston, we've had several Republican Congress folks say that they will not support a financial package, a relief financial package for Houston, for Texas. And so there's a lot of things that need to, you know, be pushed on the political realm. And we really need these politicians to stop playing politics and really work for people, because it really is people at the end of the day that are being impacted, innocent people, the most vulnerable people in these communities, who are first and foremost impacted by climate change and these worsening climate impacts.
Now, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which is under the umbrella of the Department of Homeland Security, we're getting news reports that FEMA, because of dealing with Hurricane Harvey, could be running out of money so fast that by Friday or Saturday, the agency will be out of money, just as Floridians are going to be needing FEMA's assistance first and foremost. It's amazing to me that we always seem to have money to subsidize the fossil fuel industry, and yet none to fund these sorts of emergencies. Do you think that Congress will come through for FEMA? I mean, otherwise they're literally saying, Florida, you're on your own.
I mean, I think that at this point, Congress really should think of this as them having no choice. If they really start playing politics with people's lives, they will see what happens at the election booth in 2018. This is, again, a crisis of epic proportions, and people need to be put first. So instead of, for example, putting money into a border wall or into other nonsensical Trump administration tactics, perhaps they should actually start thinking about the people who are most impacted and the ways in which actually the Trump administration, who sides with fossil fuel billionaires, including Exxon, including Chevron and BP, are continuing to subsidize the very companies that continue to sow climate denial and continue to make these climate impacts worse.
And I should mention, by the way, on Puerto Rico, Hurricane Irma did sort of skirt to the north of Puerto Rico, thankfully. And the worst that seems to have happened is that about a million people are left without power, which, of course, is a terrible thing, but presumably something that can be fixed at a lower cost than destruction of buildings. The issue of Trump in bed with the fossil fuel industry is a really, really important one. And I'm wondering if the overwhelming evidence that these hurricanes are providing to the climate skeptics and the deniers is going to make any difference. I mean, Tanu, what do you think it'll take to get these people who hold all the power politically and financially to admit that they are responsible for the damage?
No, I don't think that there's an easy answer to that question. Definitely us at 350 are continuing to push the media to really talk about the connections between these storms and climate change. We really need a massive push from people to call on this administration, to call on Congress to step up, because we're running out of time. Climate change is not a distant thing in the future. Climate change is here, and you can see that. And one of Trump's major properties is on St. Martin, and St. Martin also got destroyed. So I don't know what it's going to take. I don't know if it's going to take these politicians and fossil fuel industry billionaires' homes themselves to get destroyed, because the reality is they can rebuild without an issue because they have the money. But I think that it's really going to take a real people power force to hold politicians accountable, and that's what we're going to be doing here at 350.org.
I mean, when President Obama was in power, there were these huge fights on the ground to stop pipelines being built. They were in part successful because at least there was a person in the White House who accepted and admitted that climate change was a real thing, even as he embraced the fossil fuel industry. Is that sort of resistance going to work in this era? If not, how is 350.org and how are your allies taking on the Trump administration? How do we fight climate change under Trump? How do we fight the fossil fuel industry and those that are responsible for climate change?
I think a couple of ways. So 350.org is a global organization. We don't just work here in the United States. Definitely at this COP, the upcoming climate talks in Bonn, we're going to be really encouraging other countries to really move forward with climate action plans. On the local level here in the United States, we're working with cities and towns and states in order to pass climate resolutions. After President Trump withdrew the United States from the Paris Agreement, we saw thousands of mayors and other elected officials step up to say that they will continue with the Paris Agreement, that they will pledge to bold climate action. And we're really asking them to step up now, because this isn't something that's happening in the distant future. We need that now. And in terms of, fights like the Dakota against the Dakota Access Pipeline and other fossil fuel projects, I think that kind of resistance, you'll continue to see it. You're going to see escalating resistance, because certainly this is, we're in a different era with the Trump administration, but that does not mean that the resistance stops. In fact, it means that the resistance escalates, and that we show this administration that on the local level, we will do everything we can to shift the pendulum towards bold and progressive climate action that really puts the most vulnerable people at the forefront.
Well, Thanu, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we'll certainly keep our eye on Hurricane Irma. And I should mention, by the way, there's two more hurricanes that are emerging, Jose and Katia, that, you know, who knows how strong those will turn out to be. And we can only sort of brace ourselves. It feels like ordinary people are on their own without, you know, leaders to our elected leaders, those are supposed to represent us, have simply abandoned us, right? I mean, this is the scary thing. I can only put myself in the shoes of somebody in Houston or Florida or Barbuda or Puerto Rico and think we're on our own now.
Absolutely. But another thing that I would say to that is, like, that's what one of the reasons why we're really trying to work with some of these communities. It's really important for folks, even in places that aren't impacted by these hurricanes, to really speak out, write to your local newspaper, call on them to really make the connections between climate change and these hurricanes, call on local elected officials to push for climate resiliency in their own towns and cities and towards bold climate action. It's going to really take people power, because we don't have administrative backing, but we do believe that people can really make a difference. And as these storms continue to escalate, and the reality is it's not going to stop at just this one and two storms, who knows what's going to happen throughout hurricane season, this really should be the biggest wake-up call for our communities, that we can no longer just sit back and let politicians and let the fossil fuel industry continue to sow these lies and dictate what our future and the future of our children will look like.
Yeah, and of course, on our West Coast, we had the other sort of big predicted impact of climate change, wildfires and really severe wildfires raging up and down the coast. The evidence seems pretty obvious. Thanu, I'm guessing 350.org is a best place online to get information.
Yes, 350.org.
Exactly. We'll post a link to that from our site later today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
My guest is Thanu Yakupitiyage. She is the U.S. Communications Manager with 350.org. We've been discussing Hurricane Irma and climate change. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.